I've been running. The fastest I've ever run. And I've been running my whole life. Now it's time for me to stop. And tonight, I'm going to need you all with me.
Okay. We're here. What's up?
Picnic. I meant a trip. Somewhere different. Somewhere brand new.
Where?
Space. 1969.
And remember, Katrina, you must call me Doctor.
Have you ever thought what it's like to be wanderers in the fourth dimension? To be exiles?
This is the Doctor speaking. Well, one of them. Is there anybody there?
I hate computers and refuse to be bullied by them.
And their leader was called?
The Doctor.
Are you trying to tell us that you are the Doctor?
That's right.
I've reversed the polarity of the neutron flow so the TARDIS would be free of the force field.
You may be a Doctor, but I'm the Doctor. The definite article, you might say. Would you like a jelly baby?
I'm a Time Lord.
I'm the Doctor. Or will be if this regeneration works out. And it seems not a moment too soon.
How do you do? I'm the Doctor.
I am the Doctor!
I'm the Doctor, by the way. What's your name?
Rose.
Nice to meet you, Rose. Run for your life!
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm the Doctor.
I'm Aldi.
Hello, I'm the Doctor.
Both hands are cool.
It's a fez. I wear a fez now. Fezzes are cool.
Silence will fall.
Dillygaff, everyone. This is the TARDIS Blend. First TARDIS Blend for the new series of Doctor Who this year. My name is Greg Davies.
And I'm Tom Sheridar.
And we hang out at geeksofdoom.com. That is where we've had an absolute ton of Doctor Who stuff this week for our Week of Geek as we counted down to the opening of Doctor Who. This entry of the TARDIS Blend will be part of that series. And there's also a couple of reviews and bits and pieces that you'll be able to see about the first episode up at geeksofdoom.com as well. And we'll have a couple of, I think I've got a lighthearted little post I'm thinking about putting up, so I'll probably make that part of the Week of Geek too, Tom. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
A little bit of fun. But on to why we're here. Tom, the Impossible Astronaut, opening episode of Series 6, was the hype and high anticipation here in the United States? Did it match our expectations? Did the show match our expectations?
It matched mine.
I would agree. I would agree. I loved it as an opener. I do think though that it doesn't have the punch of the 11th hour, but I think that's what happens when you open with a two-parter.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. excuse me, but there's a lot of stuff to talk about in this episode. So let me give our audience the spoiler alert from the get go. There's a lot of spoilers in this episode. So if you haven't seen the episode yet, just hit pause on this button, and if you head over to the Doctor Who subreddit over at reddit.com, there's a link there that'll show you how you in the United States can watch the latest episode on BBC iPlayer in the UK. There's like a proxy solution or something like that, which is 100% confirmed to be working. So go and watch the episode, then come back and listen to the podcast. And, you can all ponder the massive revelations that happen in this episode. So as far as the spoilers are concerned, Tom, I wanted to start off with the most obvious one, which happened within the first 10 minutes of the episode, and that is the Doctor Who died and the death that kicks off the adventure. Now, we were informed by Stephen Moffat through various sources before the beginning that someone out of the four main characters would die, And we ran through them in our little podcast a few weeks ago, and for the life of us, we couldn't work out who it could be because, you know, that just didn't make sense. So what was your take on the
scene? Well, I thought it was interesting. I also think it was very interesting that there's a whole lot of time in between where he dies that we're not being told of. So it's possible that we could never find out even in this season. Entirely.
I doubt Moffat would let that hang beyond a season. I would imagine that this is it kicks off the season. It's a massive shock to people who aren't exposed to spoilers and stuff like that.
True.
You know, and you know, obviously the key point he's trying to make with killing off the Doctor in the first episode is the fact that, you know, a Time Lord is not omnipotent. You know, I think that's. That's kind of really pushed very hard over the last few years, particularly during Russell T. Davies' era, where, you know, the Doctor's the oncoming storm and, you know, he's something to be afraid of and he's well known throughout the galaxy, which reminds me as well, I do like the couple of touches that they threw in of, like, Doctor Who again, was it? Threw in there, some of the classic gags from the classic series there, thrown in there, but... I would imagine that this would be resolved by the end of the season. Some people online are speculating that it's going to be resolved next week, but it's just too big.
I definitely don't think that they're going to they're going to do that. And the only reason I said that is because of the 200-year gap of time that he went on being the Doctor.
This is the thing I've been arguing about with a couple of fans online as well. We don't know that he's really 200 years older. We don't even know that he's actually 900. I mean, he could be thousands of years old, and really the numbers are not important because he's always getting his age wrong.
Salut!
So when are we going to 1969?
And since when do you drink wine?
I'm 1103. I must have drunk it sometime.
Oh, well, it's horrid. I thought it would taste more like the gums.
1103. You were 908 the last time we saw you.
And you've put on a couple of pounds. I wasn't going to mention it.
Who's that?
Who's who?
Sorry, what?
If you actually look at the numbers, like, between all the different doctors and the seasons and stuff, they don't match up. You know, yeah. He doesn't know how old he is. And I think the whole point of saying that he's 1103... in the beginning of the episode, is not to point out, oh, I'm 200 years older. I think it's just to point out and establish to his three companions that I am a future doctor.
Yeah.
I am not the doctor that you will be seeing.
I don't know. I think it could. I think it could be, regardless of, it's a lot of time.
Yeah.
Whether 200 years or 50 years or 5 years, it's a lot of time.
Yeah. So there's obviously some time that's gone on between the current Doctor and the Stetson Doctor. The Stetson hat-wearing Doctor is the future Doctor.
That lasted a whole 5 seconds.
Well, you know, he's still the Stetson Doctor, though.
I bet that lasts a whole 5 seconds, and did.
Yeah. So, but it was. I mean, the whole thing with. The death of the Doctor is and the key point that I think a lot of fans have been missing in the discussion forums that I've been, because I've been trying to keep track of what the reactions are from fans across the web, and I think the key point that some people are missing is even if Amy and Rory have gone back in time, they cannot neutralize the astronaut. They cannot stop the astronaut. Because the astronaut was the reason for them to go back in time to begin with. So if there's no astronaut to kill the Doctor, they don't go back in time. It's a paradox. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So they've got to find another way to resolve the Doctor's death, and I have no idea how they're going to do it. I mean, the obvious thing would be they just go back and kill the astronaut. But Moffat's smarter than that. He knows that would be a paradox, and so there's got to be another reason for it.
Yeah, that's true. The other thing I want to make note of is that we do not see the TARDIS until we see the younger version of the Doctor.
That's a very good point. And that's another point that's been that's had a lot of fans scratching their chins over as well. I don't know. There's a few speculations about that. If he is 200 years old, maybe he gets left in the in history 200 years ago.
Yeah.
And lives for 200 years during regular time until he meets his companions again. Or maybe he's just enabled the cloaking ability that we saw in the White House. You know, that's
But he doesn't even know how to do that. So let's face it. Even 200 years later, without a River Song, he still doesn't know. There's a reason for that, Greg. There's also a reason he took the Cadillac out there, or was it a Cadillac?
I'm not sure what it was.
It was an old red car from the 1960s, and he drove that into the middle of the desert. I mean, so he didn't have the TARDIS.
Right. Right. There have been a few people that are speculating that is the TARDIS with the new chameleon circuit or something, but I highly doubt that. But
I do too. I mean, I think they stuck it in there because it was all very American.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those iconic things that you'd want to do. Cool, but not as cool as a blue box.
Lots of Americana in this episode, and by the looks of it, a lot more to come in the next one.
Yeah. He was. I did like that he was number four. I also like that. I really like Mark Shepard's role. I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, I think it was cool that they got his dad to act as an older version of Canton, Delaware.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool, too. Nice little touch there.
Who are you? Why did you come?
Same reason as you. Dr. Song? Amy? Rory, I'm Canton Everett Delaware III. I won't be seeing you again, but you'll be seeing me.
Best bits for me in this the highlight of this entire episode for me was River's little quiet discussion with Rory. I absolutely loved that. It was very touching, and I think it's the first time we've actually ever seen Moffat employ backshadowing. As opposed to foreshadowing, because she's talking about, you know, what's going to happen to her the time that she meets the Doctor and he doesn't recognize her, which of course we've already seen, in Silence in the Library, and she doesn't know that, but she talks about how it's going to be the death of her, and it's just, you know, I like the way he's like working backwards and forwards with their relationship, and it's a nice little string that he's tying together throughout. The three or four seasons that we've seen her. And the other funny bit was the Doctor's cameo in the Laurel and Hardy on Amy's television set.
Yeah, I did like that.
That
you
was
know,
pretty funny.
let's talk about, since we're going to do that, let's talk about favorite quotes. Mine was whenever he had walked in and made his demands and assessed his code names, and he gave River... Mrs. Robinson.
Yes, I love that scene. That was brilliant. Yeah,
that lost my mind.
He was quite the flirt with River Song this episode. You know, the whole thing was like, you've got that look on your face. I look like this all the time. Yeah, you know, the look that, you know, he's clever. He's hot when he's clever.
Yeah.
It was very well done. That they've got a good chemistry together, those two on screen. So
yes, and then, you know, the reaching down and saying that he was sitting around. Being whoever, what's the point of having you all around?
Yes.
I feel that, like that all the time, Greg. I don't know about you.
River Song calls him a hippie. She calls him an archaeologist. He calls her an archaeologist, I should say. But and this one's not exactly a line, but the other thing I liked is when Nixon finally spots the Doctor in the Oval Office, and they both look at him and they're all shocked, and he just like waves them on. As if to continue. I thought that was brilliantly done. I think that was a bit of improv from Matt there, very nicely done. So yeah, that was really good. I also like the Stetson Doctor's death scene at the beginning. It was beautifully shot because you had this. Not only did you have this nice balance of good quality CGI and fantastic acting from Matt, but you had this beautiful background. That they'd filmed on location, and it just looked absolutely stunning. It's going to be a shot that's going to be remembered for a long time in Doctor Who fans' memories, I think.
Yeah, I'm still like curious. I want to know who that astronaut was. so bad.
Well, we do see at the end of the episode that it is the little girl that they've been trying to track down. And we know that the little girl survives the cliffhanger because we see her in the next time trailer. So she's there and she's still in the spacesuit. My guess, my speculation, and this is going to sound really weird, but I'm thinking the impossible astronaut is a young River Song. Because, as we know, she kills a good man. And it makes sense and it fits in with the plot. But with the paradox issue that we were talking about earlier, it might not pan out that way. So it's either River Song or it's something we haven't thought of yet that happens much later in the season. The other thing is that there's I am aware of something to do with the cliffhanger at the end of the next episode, which may both shine a little light on that little girl and also make us ask more questions about who this girl may possibly be.
I really don't think it's River. She doesn't have an accent, does she?
No.
She doesn't have an accent. So.
Well, no, not really. But, you know, that doesn't really matter because, you know, they can tie it in any way they want.
True.
Just because Baby River is not is speaking with an American accent doesn't mean that, you know, that doesn't fade away with as she grows. So, I don't know. It's a big question that I have. The other spoiler, of course, that we haven't talked about yet was Amy's pregnancy. And personally, I'd actually expected this because it's been floating around the spoiler boards for a while. But what was really interesting about it was, Tom, I was keeping an eye on Twitter as stuff was being aired on BBC America. And the American fans on Twitter reacted massively to that revelation, more so than the scene of the Doctor's death. It was huge reaction.
Captain, are you okay?
Is he all right?
Just unconscious, got a proper whack there.
Doctor, I need to tell you something. I have to tell you it now.
Not a great moment, Dad.
No, it's important. It has to be now.
Help! Help me! Help me!
Doctor. Pregnant.
What did you think about that?
I have no idea. I think I have to see the next part.
Yeah.
Before I can make it. Usually, you know, when we review two-parters, it's so hard to peel back the first part without having to judge the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Wasn't too happy with the cliffhanger on this episode.
Yeah, and it's like I said, was it should have been one episode, should have been two? We don't really know this stuff.
I think there should have been three, actually. I mean, from what I've been reading, there's a lot of content like squished into these two episodes.
Yeah.
It does impact what happens during the rest of the season. So, you know, the big cliffhanger for me, I mean, it wasn't really a hang on your, you know, cling onto your seat moment. You know what I mean? I think they would have been. It would have been better served if they'd swapped over River and Rory's cliffhanger with the Doctor's. That was a lot more, you know, shocking and a bit more scary. You know, because the silence is approaching upon them in the Lodger TARDIS thing that they find.
Yeah. Here's another thing to think of that cliffhanger when we see the girl shooting the girl. The Doctor saying no, or whoever saying no. We learn that Amy's pregnant. Apparently. Could it be Amy's child?
No, I doubt it.
No?
I doubt that very much.
Why else reveal that she's pregnant?
It's a good question, and I think that has a lot to do with the mysteries behind Amy. She's got a lot of secrets, and one of the secrets that she reveals in this episode is that she's pregnant. Obviously, right?
Yeah.
The other thing, now you remember the scene that the first time we see the Silent kill someone, which is he kills that American woman, Joy.
Yeah.
Totally spooky moment. Very, very well done on screen.
What a spooky monster, man.
Dude, yeah, fucking Silence are awesome, dude. They're quickly becoming my favorite. And when he actually speaks to her, he says to Amy, he says, "You have two secrets, one that you must tell the Doctor and the other that you must never tell him." but you're going to tell him. And the first secret you must tell him, she wants to find the doctor again to tell him that she's pregnant.
Yeah. Now,
we don't know that who the father is at this point in time. I think it would be obviously Rory. But, you know, that's not relevant at this point in time. The other question, the thing is that the audience is expected to think that what you must never tell the doctor is the fact that she has seen their death. She's seen the death of the doctor. But I don't think the Silent is referring to that at all. I think the Silent is referring to something else. Because if you compare Amy with Joy, for example, when Joy sees the Silent again, she doesn't remember that she's seen it a first time. Amy, on the other hand, remembers that she's seen it at the scene of the doctor's death. And she remembers also when the cracks had sucked in her parents, she remembers her mother, you know.
Yeah.
So there's something about her memory, you know, like when she's a kid at the end of the season last year, she remembered that there were stars, you know, when everyone else had no knowledge of it. So, you know, there's something odd there about Amy Pond. I don't think she's human. I think there's something else there. I think there's something else going on with Amelia Pond, and that's part of the reason why the doctor dragged her along. And of course, we can't forget it was because of her memory that saved the doctor at the end of the day in the last season.
Yeah. Other thing I want to point out, you can probably find this screen crap online. We'll link to it in our show notes. But the lodger, which we know is going to have an effect at some point this season, the upstairs room bears a striking resemblance to the room that River and Rory find.
What is this place?
That's an alarm. Check if anything's coming.
Nothing out there.
These tunnels, they're not just here, they're everywhere. They're running under the surface of the entire planet. They've been here for centuries. Glory!
It's not just a resemblance, it's the exact same technology. It's the Lodger TARDIS. It's exactly the same, it's just a different color scheme.
Now, is that a TARDIS? Did we determine if that's a TARDIS or not?
Well, the Doctor refers to it as somebody's attempt at building a TARDIS.
Okay.
And some of the fans have referred to it as a Negatardis, as in like the negative version of a TARDIS. But according to the interesting thing about their discovery is, according to River, that and the tunnels. Tunnels underneath Florida, which I found kind of amusing, had been there for centuries. But why use the human technology? I mean, to kill the doctor eventually, yeah, but why are they needing that in 1969?
Yeah.
We don't know the full story yet. The real story, I think, is going to be told next episode. The main role of the Impossible Astronaut, while it was exciting and fun and funny and dark at the same time, was really to set up both what happens in the next episode and the entire season, I think.
Yeah.
The other question I have, and this is the one that's really bugging the hell out of me, Tom. At the beginning of this episode, the Doctor and his companions, they're separate at the beginning of this episode. What? Why? What happens between A Christmas Carol and this episode? Or is this season out of sync? Do we find out later? Is the Impossible Astronaut like chronologically later in the series for us who have seen? Do you know what I mean? Like, there's some discrepancy there. Why are they not with the Doctor on the TARDIS at the beginning of this episode? Something's happened there.
Huh. Yeah.
And it's bugging me. I want to know why.
Well, I mean, I don't know. They've gone. They've had their life. He makes the comment that, you know, they're going to go back home, they're going to go have lots of, you know, babies, whatever. So
right, so the other thing is, like, Amy says that the Doctor will be in touch. The Doctor never says that to his companions that leaves. He leaves them and moves on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, there's only been, there's only been exceptions more than the rule where he's come back in contact with his companions. And I'm thinking, of course, of Sarah Jane Smith and Joe Grant. They're the only two that I can think of. So why? What's going on there? And why is he supposedly reaching out for them in history? Why is he, like, you know, appearing in Laurel and Hardy videos and doing all this ridiculous stuff in history to try and get in contact with them? You know, that was what they were trying to emphasize at the beginning of the episode. Something's not quite altogether there. And something, part of me wants to tie it in with that question that you had at the very beginning of where's the future Doctor's TARDIS?
Yeah.
You know, I think it ties in with that somehow.
Yeah, I really can't wait till next episode. Greg, I want to ask you, did you catch the Fifth Doctor reference? I did not. I actually found out from a post on Reddit, and then I was like, and then I went back and watched it. And
which one? There's actually a few references and nods to previous Doctors.
Well, there was one in particular that he made at 31 minutes, almost 32 minutes in. After they moved to Florida, the Doctor says, "Braveheart, Canton," which is the fifth what the Fifth Doctor always told Tegan.
If you stop enjoying it, give it up.
Tegan.
It stopped being fun, Doctor.
Goodbye.
Tell them. Goodbye. Miss you both.
No, no, don't leave. Not like this.
I must. I'm sorry.
Strange. I left Gallifrey for similar reasons. I'm growing tired of their lifestyle. It seems I must mend my ways. Come along.
Braveheart, Tegan. Doctor, I will miss you.
Oh, he said that to a few people, actually.
Did he?
Well, it wasn't just Tegan. He says that there's been a couple of characters he said that to, you know. But that's lovely little writing there. That just that's been done in a few times before in the past where they've paid a little tribute to a previous Doctor. You know, the best example I can think of at the moment is the Lazarus machine from the David Tennant eras, where it says that he's going to reverse the polarity of the neutron flow, which was a line that John Pertwee used over and over again during his era. You know, so I think it's important to include little nods like that. It was nice to see. It was nice to see. You know, the scene where the Doctor is down on the beach and he walks away from the companions to meet the astronaut is also a bit of a nod to a scene from Logopolis, I think, if memory serves me right. So, there were a few nods here and there. Nice catch, though.
Yeah. So, I think that's all I have to say. I'm psyched about next episode. I love the Doctor. It's been forever since we've seen him, I feel like, and I am ready for next week.
I have a couple more things to bring up very quickly. One,
okay.
I'm sticking by my guess, and that is, you know, I've said this numerous times on the show before. We have an idea that it was the silence behind the cracks in the universe and the exploding TARDIS, but I'm still guessing that they're serving someone else, a master strategist. And my guess is it's either Omega or somebody new that we have never met before. I'm still leaning towards Omega, who's a previous villain in Doctor Who lore.
I think it's more from his own race. I think it's somebody there. I don't think it's the Master, but I do think it's someone.
Well, Omega is a Time Lord. He's one of the first. He's one of the first. You know, he.
Well, there you go.
So he was.
We are both correct.
The history behind Omega is that he was one of the Time Lords from the early days when Rassilon was still around in the early days. He was the one that created the alternative universe behind the black hole, which powers the ability for the Time Lords to travel in time. So there's a lot of junk science history behind it and stuff like that. But you know, he was banished from the Time Lords, in essentially, and the Doctors have always faced off against him in adventures where there's been more than one Doctor. So, like, his first appearance was the Third Doctor, and then the next appearance, as far as I know, was the Five Doctors, and we're coming up on the 50-year anniversary. So I'm wondering if Moffat is leading up to this. And, you know, it might be something that he does. It might not be. I could be way off, but that's still my guess. The other thing I wanted to point out to people, if you have access to a digital copy of The Impossible Astronaut, or if you've got access to the Next Time preview, I highly encourage you to have a closer look at the scene where the camera is panning away from the Saturn V rocket that's got Apollo 11 on it. There's like a split second scene there. That you only kind of register in the corner of your eye because it happens so quickly. See if you can get yourself acquainted with the accuracy of the pause button, because there's a very familiar person sitting inside the rocket on the, you know, when you're looking straight down the rocket. I got a screen cap of it. I know who it is, but I'm not ruining it for everyone. Check it out for yourself. It's really, really worth checking out.
All right.
Yep. And that's all I got, mate.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts?
Bring on the Saturday.
Yeah, no kidding, dude. I can't wait. So next week we will be back here at Geeks of Doom with our little TARDIS blend review of Day of the Moon, which is the conclusion to this opening episode of the season. It's also basically the bomb. The whole thing is essentially a bombshell that kicks off the season. So hopefully we'll have more answers next week.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see. Tom, thanks again, mate.
Hey, thanks thanks to you, sir.
And we will catch you all next week for another edition of the TARDIS Blend. Thank you all for listening. And remember, you feel free to comment, even if you disagree very strongly with what we're talking about, if there's some of our theories and speculations. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll catch you next week. Here we go.
Dr. Song, you've got that face on again.
What face?
The he's hot when he's clever face.
This is my normal face.
Yes, it is.
Oh, shut up.
Not a chance.